You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. And before I forget, the way you listen to my show as a podcast is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K, .wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have links to the, at the very top, usually 6 to 8 of the last shows. And below that, you have a complete archive of all my shows in the past. And this is the 113th show. We're getting up there. I'm shooting for in the next 2 years to go over 200 shows, and we're going to really polish the show in the next 2 years. We're definitely going to have bumper music as well as music that introduce as well as end the show. Much like any other talk radio show has that's commercial, I've really postponed doing that until I really made up my mind as to what music I wanted to associate with this show. I think I have I think I've selected some good music, more classical music, because most shows do not have classical music as their intro or ending. So I think it'll be rather unique and appropriate for the show. But I'm really going to save that until the fall semester, start a new semester with some improvements. And one of the things I've done in the past, I've really not done lately, is to have clips. And the reason why, it really takes more time to prepare that, because I prepare and produce the whole show. So I don't have any assistants. We don't have any call-ins. We don't have any advertisers. This is strictly internet or web radio, where I'm basically the producer and the presenter of the show. So that takes time. And I will try to have in the future 4 to 8 clips, but I'm really not going to do that until the fall semester, because once the fall semester starts, then I can really count on having that time slot from 3 to 5. In the summer, you know, people are taking vacations, days off, so it's a little difficult to predict exactly when you're going to have the studio being available. You know, for example, today I was going to start the show at 2 o'clock. However, someone already beat me in, even though I was preparing the show. So we're running a little late as it is. This will probably be a two-part, 4-hour show, because I have a lot of material on 3 news stories that I've been thinking a lot. And I was rather early in terms of talk radio in looking at the National Security Agency, the NSA. I think scandal, an invasion of the American people's privacy. I'm going to get in it today. I'm going to really get you up to speed on it. Like I said, I've given a lot of thought to it. But I'm going to relate it to another big story in the news that I think is going to get a lot more attention in the next 2 to 3 weeks, really through the summer. And that is the so-called comprehensive immigration reform bill that is about to be passed, I think, in the Senate. I think it is a terrible, terrible violation of the will of the American people, because the American people, and I've looked at historically a lot of surveys, are totally against illegal immigration. And I emphasize illegal immigration, and this bill would not stop that. And if anything, it would increase it. So I'm going to be covering the NSA, but I'm going to relate it to the illegal immigration story. And really, they are both connected, because many of those illegal aliens that are crossing the borders, what they call in the Border Patrol OTMs, other than Mexicans. And the reason I emphasize that, other foreign governments, many of them in the Middle East, but around the world, have basically spies in our country, and it's up to the NSA to protect the United States against foreign agents as well as saboteurs that are in the United States. They're called sleeper cells. they're there, and they're from China, they're from communist China, they're from the Soviet Union, now Russia, they're from the Middle East, and if occasion arises and they're giving the go-ahead, they could really do some damage to the United States. That needs to be considered. But what's making it more and more difficult is the number you hear over and over, it's repeated like a mantra, that we have 11 million illegal immigrants in the United States. Well, that is, unfortunately, a big lie. First of all the numbers that you hear as to the number of illegal aliens are estimates, and everyone concedes that. But what's disconcerting is the people closest to it that are apprehending a large number of the illegal aliens that are crossing the Mexican United States border, they get less than half right now. That whole situation is scandal, and I'm not blaming the Border Patrol. They're the ones really complaining about it. It's the leadership under President Obama, where really the only people, the majority of the people that are deported by federal law, if you enter this country illegally, by federal law, you are should be removed and deported to your country of origin. The law simply is not being enforced, and that really is the center focus that I would expect it any comprehensive immigration bill to address, namely border security, but more importantly, stopping this magnet of attracting illegal aliens, and that's what I call them, illegal aliens. If I'm having a bad day, I'll call them what they really are, criminal aliens, because they're breaking into our country. It's like they're breaking into your home. And it's not 11 million, folks. It's somewhere between 40 and 50 million. That's the dirty, deep, dirty secret that they don't want to let you know. It's over 40 million. And I truly think it's probably over 50 million. Because when asked, the senators that are the so-called Gang of Eight, when Senator Schumer was asked by Senator Sessions, Jeff Sessions of Alabama, asked Schumer directly, over the next 10 years, how many of these so-called illegal aliens or illegal immigrants that are here working in the United States would become citizens, Schumer would not answer the question. And there's a reason why he will not answer the question, because the real number is closer to 40 million, if not higher. And the reason I say that is because only less than half of the people that are crossing illegal are actually apprehended, and many of those are not sent back. The large percentage of the people that are sent back, and they're broken into various categories, with the highest priority be given to people that have criminal records either in their own country or in this country. Yes, truly criminal aliens are sent back, but the people that really are the either first-time offenders are a small percentage. The only people that would really fall in the category, they don't have a criminal record except for the fact that they've broken in this, they crossed the border and been captured, you know, repeatedly. Or you have to be caught three times before they really will send you back. And the leadership under President Obama and the head of ICE is not enforcing the law. It's that simple. And they're you know, anybody that becomes a public official in the United States, whether it's our congressmen or congresswomen, senators, presidents, have to swear an oath to defend and protect the Constitution. And one of the articles of the Constitution is to protect the states from invasion. And we're talking 40 million people or more is an invasion. Now, it didn't happen over 1 year. It's really happened over the last 22, 23 years that immigration or illegal immigration has taken off. And I need to say up front, because sometimes it's very easy to say, well, you're just anti-immigration. I'm not against immigration at all. I truly believe we are a nation of immigrants. But you got to keep in mind that we have rules, the rule of law, on the books. And I don't think the best way to start off is to first break into the country. And I always say that people that are working here illegally are already three-time offenders. They first broke the law by entering illegal. The second time they broke the law is when they got documents, either stolen documents or fraudulent documents, that enables them to work in the United States. And the third time they break the law is every day when they go to work. So there truly are criminals, habitual criminals. And yes, those three are initially misdemeanors. But if you repeat the crime over and over again, you're an habitual criminal, and that's a felony. And by the laws of the United States today, these people should be deported. And we're talking about 40 million. That's what's happened over the last 23 to 25 years. We have not enforced our immigration laws to the fullest extent possible. And that's a simple fact. And who does it hurt? It hurts people that are American citizens that have been born here. That's who it hurts. Because we have had, for the last, starting in the fall of 2008, now we're in 2013, that's 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, going on our sixth year with unemployment rates above 7%, and most of the time above 9%. That's the problem. And many of those people are young people, either young high school graduates or dropouts, as well as college graduates or dropouts that can't find a job. And it's not just them, but it really hurts our young people that are starting out or trying to start out in a career. And what they're finding is most of those entry-level jobs, they're still there, but they're performed by illegal immigrants that are willing to take below market rates of wages. And what's really, and I'm sort of jumping ahead because I really have three stories, giving you too much. I always give kind of an overview of the show, and occasionally I will digress and really get into a segment. I'm about at that point, but I'm going to be discussing illegal immigration, but its big impact is on American citizens, and it's primarily on the young. Your sons and daughters, your grandsons and daughters that can't find jobs, can't find their first job, can't find a summer job. And you know what type, they're not, you know, I've been a janitor, for example. I know on this campus today, most of the janitorial services, not all of them, but most of the janitorial services are done by illegal aliens. And that's not unique to this campus or this college or the DCCD, or many, many businesses in Dallas. Dallas is a so-called sanctuary city. We welcome illegal immigrants. That, by the way, is a felony, what our leadership of the city is doing. And we have many, and Dallas is not unique. We have many cities in Dallas, in Texas, as well as across the nations that are so-called sanctuary cities that welcome illegal immigrants. And I always say for the people that are open borders, more the merrier, come on in, whether you're legal or illegal, is don't you really care at all for the American people, your own children and grandchildren? Now, many of them know that are usually of the ruling elite that their children or grandchildren are going to go to the finest colleges and get a job, and they're really not threatened by illegal aliens or illegal immigrants. The Democrats like to call them undocumented workers. Leno had a real good joke. They're really undocumented Democrats, and I'll get to that in a minute. But that's where I really, I shake my head, because all our representatives in Congress or our president, you would think they swear an oath to defend the Constitution against, for example, invasions, and also to enforce the laws, and they don't do it. And then they wonder why the American people are irate. And you got to keep in mind, the American people, this country today and for the last 20 years, is the most generous country in the world in terms of legal immigration. More than 1 million people every year enter this country as legal immigrants. And that's what's going on. And there's no other country in the world that it comes close to that. We welcome immigrants, and so do I, if they come here legally. But what I find very offensive, and the majority of Americans, I'm talking 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5 Americans, oppose illegal immigration. In other words, they want the illegal immigrants to go home and then the borders to be shut in terms of illegal immigrants. And that has not been done. Just to put in a little historical perspective, in 1986, we had, again, an immigration reform bill under President Reagan, who supported it, but in retrospect said it was one of the biggest mistakes he ever made. And at the time, the number that you heard in the news was that under immigration reform, people that were in the United States prior to a certain date, about 1 million people would be given amnesty. In other words, they would have to fill out some paperwork, but as a result of that, they would become U.S. citizens. What happened was more than 3 million people actually became citizens as a result of that passage of the law. Now we're hearing the number 11 million. And if history is any guide, and like I said, I think it's more, it's above 40 million, we'll have over 30 million, 33 million if the ratio stays the same, over the next 10 years become citizens if this Senate bill were passed. And it's more like 40 million. And who does it really hurt? It hurts the young people. It hurts black people. It hurts Hispanic people that are American citizens. Look at the unemployment rate of our teenagers today. It's close to 25%. Over the last 5 or 6 years, we've had unemployment rates of teenagers, 16 to 19 years old, of over 20%. And many of those jobs were entry-level jobs, such as being a janitor. I remember graduating high school and attending college. I'm not sure if I did it 1 or 2 summers, I have to think. I was a janitor, a really hard job, and it was only four to five hours a night, 5 nights a week. And I had to clean a lot of buildings. I had to work my tail off, and I was glad to have that job. I truly was glad to have that job. But that was an entry-level job. I didn't plan to be a janitor for life, but those types of jobs, you know, many of my friends would bag groceries at a local grocery store. That was a common job, still is. Many of them would do lawns, mow lawns, and if you're lucky and had the right connections, you could get a construction job. Now, I'm not saying all those jobs have disappeared, but many of those jobs, what I would call entry-level, low-skilled, low-experienced jobs, entry-level jobs, your first or second job, were performed by American citizens. And if you were lucky, you could get a construction job. Those were harder to find. And those were hard jobs. Many people would work in restaurants. I know they still work in Americans today are doing all these jobs. What really irks me is when, well, these are jobs that Americans no longer want to do. Excuse me. First of all, that's the height of arrogance to say that. And I've heard senators and congressmen say that. Well, these are jobs Americans don't want to do. Excuse me, you're talking to people that have been unemployed that are looking for a job can't find a job. And why? Because you have employers in this country, many of them governments or government-related. Richland College is a public university. Now, the game they play is they hire a employment agency that hires these people. So their hands are clean. Oh, we don't hire illegals. No, you don't. You hire agencies that do hire illegals. And that's across the United States. Literally the entire janitorial staff here let me just say this. They do a terrific job. I'm not criticizing them. But the fact is, every one of those jobs could be performed by an American citizen, and it's not being. And it's across this city, it's across this state, and it's across this nation. And why? Because the power elite, the ruling elite in Washington, D.C., spent the last several months in closed-door meetings negotiating a 24-pound bill that, in essence, what it does is encourages and continues illegal immigration into this country, provides amnesty or citizenship. Yes, they have to wait a number of years, pay certain fines and all this. That misses the entire point. The law today is people that are working here illegally should be removed from their place of employment and deported to their country of origin, wherever it is. And it's not, and let me emphasize, it's not just people crossing the Mexican-U.S. border, because approximately a third to a 40% of the people that are here illegally came here legally, either as students or business trips or tourists, and then overstayed their visas and are now working here. And yes, some of them start their own jobs and hire people. I understand that. But what's happened in Washington, D.C. is the large unions and large medium-sized corporations, through their associations, like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, to name one, are making it so they have a large and growing workforce that is basically cheap and compliant. And why do I say that? Because if you're here illegally, you don't complain. Because you know if you complain, you'll be shown the door. And if you mouth off, they'll call the police on you. That's what's going on. And they're ignoring the will of the American people that wants illegal immigration stopped, which means enforcement of existing immigration law. And this story will be in the news for the next several months. There is a revolt right now in Congress, in the House. This is splitting the Republican Party. And I'm really getting too much. I'll come back to this in a moment. But it's in the news now. It'll be in the news in the next several weeks. I'm sure I'm going to report updates of this as they occur. But illegal immigration and the so-called comprehensive immigration bill is going to be in the news. It's going to get a lot of attention, and it really should concern young people today, because it's the young citizens today that are really getting screwed on this by your own government, by big corporations, it's in the interest of the Democratic Party to do this. Because they see these 30 to 40 to 50 million, whatever the number is, nobody knows. It's an estimate. I think somebody does know, though. And I'll get into that in a second. But they don't want to shine the spotlight on that. Because I'd like to know the answer to what Senator Jeff Sessions asked. How many illegal aliens will become citizens as a result of this law? It's not 11 million, folks. It's 40 to 50 million. That's the deep, dark secret that the ruling elite does not want out. They're hiding that in the shadows. The illegal immigrants are not in the shadows. I've been a dozen, I went shopping this Sunday. I needed certain items, and I went to three or four places. And one is a national chain. I won't mention their name. They had at least two or three people stocking shelves, and they were Mexican. They couldn't speak English. They had a few Americans actually at the cash register. I was surprised, because this store usually has a Mexican that can speak English doing the cash, running the cash register. But the people stocking the shelves were Mexican. And see, all of those jobs in the past would have been young people really doing those jobs. Because I was going to say, one summer, this was between my junior and senior year in college, I was stacking shelves, unloading trucks and stacking shelves with a big chain in the United States. You know, not as large as Walmart, but they were a large chain, a regional chain in the Northeast. And I had a fairly long commute. I had to take I didn't drive at the time, my father did have a car, but he was working, so he couldn't take me to work. So it was a good 30, 45 minutes to get to the store, and I would work 12 hours a day. And again, I was glad I had a job. It was hard to get a job even then. Today, those jobs would be largely illegal immigrants doing those jobs. I was in Walmart. Bought some stuff that I needed. Need a new pair of pants. Have a new pair of pants. Not all, but a lot of the people in there, usually stacking the shelves, were illegal immigrants. I don't know how they work there, other than maybe they're hired through an agency. And it's well known, because I remember, and I'm not picking on Walmart, but we had where I used to live several years ago, I was probably a mile to 2 miles away from a Sam's. They were in the neighborhood. They have since moved. And one day, they were hiring people. And I'm not kidding, folks. There must have been at least 60 people trying to get employment there. And the overwhelming majority, I would say 80 to 90%, were illegal aliens. They were Mexican. And that same Sam's store had illegal immigrants working there. I saw it with my own eyes. You see it every day with your own eyes. Am I saying all the people there are illegal? No, I'm not. But what's happening is the large corporations in the United States, in many industries, agriculture, farming, meatpacking, retail, construction. You could go down the list of industries, especially where they have it's manual labor, entry-level positions. I think that's kind of the two key characteristics. Low-skilled, maybe three. Usually it's typically an entry-level job. Low-skill. You don't really need education. In some cases, you don't even need to speak the language. And it's manual labor. Janitor falls into that situation. I didn't need to be I was an honors high school graduate, National Honor Society high school graduate. I needed a job, and I would take a janitorial job. I'd take any job, and glad I had it. And this is many, many years ago. Today, it's several orders of magnitude more difficult for young people to get a job. And that's the way the employers want it, and that's why they're behind this so-called comprehensive immigration law. And the same thing with, I don't want to get into guest workers, but there's a portion of this bill that deals with guest workers and the number of them. So what's going on, the reason why I'm going on about this is what Washington, D.C. is doing is ignoring the will of the American people and also invading their privacy. So I'm going to cover both the NSA situation as well as the illegal immigration or so-called comprehensive immigration reform bill. That bill would make the situation much, much worse. It would institutionalize what's going on right now and lead to 40 million or more people that normally should not be working here. And that's upwards of I'm ballparking. That's about a 25% increase to the labor force. And not entirely, but a lot of those jobs are your entry-level, low-skilled manual labor that Americans have in the past and as well today perform. But the overwhelming majority of people that today that are doing that are illegal immigrants. And that's simply dollars and cents. It's an employer trying to squeeze the margin and to get a compliant, cheap labor force. That's what it's all about, folks. And that's why it was done behind closed doors. So there are a lot of dimensions to this, security dimensions to the situation besides the employment I'm going to get into, as well as police and enforcement of the law. Because the American people, if anything, what they really want is the laws to be enforced, the rule of law. And that's not what's happening. And what's driving me crazy, although I'm getting used to it, but there was something new. I don't normally watch television. I don't have a television at home. I do listen to talk radio, but mainly to sample various talk radio hosts to get an idea of how they're approaching the news, what they tend to emphasize. And everyone has their style. I have my style. Rush Limbaugh has his style. Mark Levin, Hannity, they all have their different. Bill Bennett has his. Michael Savage. Now, I don't listen to all of them all the time. It's just a little bit here and there. And I have a favorite one in Dallas. Now, unfortunately, I can't listen to the whole show. He's on between 12 and 4 in the morning, Charlie Jones. And he's kind of one of my favorites because he does his homework. And he's not afraid to take on the rough issues. And on this NSA, he's one of the leaders, because I'm really disappointed in some of the people on talk radio. Surprisingly disappointed. People that I have a lot of respect for. And one in particular, he's one of my favorite shows. Well, he's on Saturdays and Sundays, talk radio, except towards the evening. A lot of it's just produced shows. And I have some favorites there. But one of them is the Larry Kudlow show that in Dallas was broadcast between 6 and 9. And I was really disappointed. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was really disappointed on his position on illegal immigration. And so was most of his audience, because he was commenting. He was getting emails and phone calls that really wanted to take him on, and he should have been taken on. But was even worse, I heard his take on this NSA situation, and he's just echoing the establishment. You know, I was screaming out, do you care about your own privacy? Do you care about your own children and grandchildren and family in terms of employment? Apparently not. You know, the United States, if it wanted to, could open the borders, and you could have a billion people flood in. It's that simple. Because there are a billion people that would love to come to the United States. It would destroy this country. But you could do that. And initially, you might get higher economic growth. You see, the reason why I'm against, even though I'm a classical liberal that believe in limited constitutional government, and in theory, as a what's called in America a libertarian, I should be for open borders. The reason why I am against it, and so strongly against it, we have, unfortunately in the United States, a welfare warfare state. And as long as you have a welfare state, people will come here illegally and go on welfare. Even though by federal law, if you're going to be a burden on the state, that should be grounds for rejecting your citizenship. And that's the law today. It's not being enforced, folks. Very few people that apply for a citizenship are rejected on the grounds that they've been on welfare for food stamps, Section 8 housing, as well as welfare, you know, income assistance. Again, a situation where people swear that I will defend and protect the Constitution of the United States and enforce the laws, and they don't do it. They betray their own oath of office. And that's what's happening, and it's done by an oligarchy, an elite, a so-called ruling elite in Washington. The American people are waking up slowly, unfortunately, as far as I'm concerned, too slow. But a number of issues are kind of focusing their attention and starting to get their attention, especially amongst young people. And even, believe it or not, my black friends are starting to wake up to the fact that Obama doesn't seem to be working out too good if you're a black and unemployed. Black employment is much higher than the average rate, which is significantly higher. We've had an unemployment rate above 7%, which is very high in and of itself. I need to say, near full employment, what economists call near full employment. You'll get a debate as to what that percentage is. But historically, it's around 3 to 4%. See, I can remember when we had 3 to 4% unemployment rates. Many young people can't. And some would say the new near full employment rate is 5%. I think that's nonsense. I think if we had the correct economic policies and leadership, we could have a near full employment rate of under 3%. Under 3%. That would be fabulous. But to do that, you need economic growth of 4 and 5%. And we're nowhere near that. We're running around 2%. And if we go into a recession, it'll be negative for two quarters. And I think we're, if you listen to past shows, although I've been wrong on the timing, I'll be the first one to admit it's very difficult, if not impossible, to predict recessions or booms for that matter. But if you follow what the policies have been, I fully anticipate, and I'm not alone with this opinion, that we're going to go into a recession and maybe a global depression. That's how bad it is. And when the economy is in such a bad state, the last thing you want to do is swing open the doors and encourage more and more people to flood in and reward illegal behavior by giving them a so-called pathway to citizenship. It's not a pathway to, well, it is if this bill passes. You know what it is? It's a pathway to one-party rule by the Democratic Party. That's why I keep shaking my head. Are the Republicans that stupid? That stupid to pass something like this? They're literally committing suicide. Suicide. Political suicide. Now, I know why. And let me, some people might be puzzled by position of each party. The Democrat, the reason why Senator Schumer, amongst other Democrats, are for giving amnesty or citizenship to illegal aliens that are here today, the reason why is they see all those people, the majority of them, 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5, the overwhelming majority of those illegal aliens, they see as future Democratic voters. And I'll make a prediction. If this comprehensive immigration bill becomes law by 2025, you'll have a one party, namely the Democratic Party, dominating. And what I mean by dominating, majorities of 55 to 60%, it'll be one party rule by 2025 in the House, the Senate, and the presidency. That's why they're pushing this. That's why they're pushing this. And the Republicans, there's some of them that are behind this, including Senator McCain and Lindsey and Marco Rubio. They all happen to be neoconservatives. I call them progressives. They're the phrase that I, the word I've coined, because I say progressives to people, and yeah, I know my history. And yes, there have been Republicans and Democrats through the last 100 years that have been progressives. They changed their label to liberal when the eugenics part of their program was discredited as a result of the Holocaust in World War II. They repackaged that. It's called Planned Parenthood today. And I digress there. But the point I was trying to make, both parties, the Republican Party, starting with Theodore Roosevelt, and he was not the only one. There were many other ones, as well as the Democratic Party, starting in the early part of the last century, 1900s, progressivism was the rage, not laissez-faire, limited government, what in Europe is called liberal, what in the United States would be called libertarian. That went out of, it became less popular, let's put it that way. And the rage for the last 100 years has been progressivism under various names. That's why today we have a welfare warfare state. It's big government. But what I call that, when I call someone a progressive, you know, there are a number of people out there that, you know, for example, Glenn Beck, he likes to call many of his opponents, and correctly, are progressives. That really doesn't tell people that much until you really get into what they favor. So I came up with an acronym. I call it BIGS. They're the BIGS. Who are the BIGS? They're big interventionist government statists. They're statist folks. But what they're primarily for is bigger and bigger government intervening both domestically and abroad. That's what they favor. And we have Republicans and Democrats. The Democratic Party, as far as I'm concerned, is a lost cause. It is overwhelmingly controlled and run by progressives, for progressives that believe in big government. They would like, if they succeed in passing this law, the size of the federal government today, which is around 21-22%, will quickly go to 40%. Mark my words. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, but if you, as a direct result of passing, for example, if this Senate law, Senate bill, should become law, and the House needs to pass something, and then they usually have a joint committee, and then out of that, a bill is passed. That's the normal procedure, if you will. So if we have some kind of comprehensive immigration reform that is very close to what, or close to what the Senate is about to pass as law, if that should happen, and I think this in the Senate bill is going to be passed. I have no doubts about that, because the Democrats have a majority in the Senate, and they're going to have some Republicans, including McCain and Graham, passing this. The Senate bill, it's too late to stop that. It should have been stopped. It's an awful bill. It was very much written by special interest, namely large unions and large corporations and certain industries, agriculture, farming, ranching, meat packing, construction, retail, that want a cheap labor force. And if that bill passes, they will have more than 40 million illegal aliens over the next 10 to 15 years will become citizens and will compete with American citizens today that are alive today, that are alive and working. That's why you'll have a difficult time now and in the future finding a job. It's that simple. So the bigs, the big interventionist government status, want to do that. And you have a lot of power and influence behind it. Now, the payoff of the Democratic Party is, I think as a minimum, as a bare minimum, they'll get 2 out of 3 of the illegal alien vote. I think initially they could easily get 3 out of 4. So if the Republicans are stupid enough, and believe me, I think they are that stupid to pass this, something close to this, they're cutting their own throat. I don't know, they might as well take a gun to their head and shoot themselves. Because by 2025, there'll be no way. That's 40 million more voters, and at two-thirds, well, let's use three-fourths initially. That means 30 million more votes, potential votes. Now, I know you have, you know, not everyone votes and all that. I understand that. But that will swing most states, most cities, most counties will swing from Republican to Democrat, including Texas. including Texas. Texas will go from a solid red state to blue, where blue is for the Democrats, red is for the Republican Party. I wish it was the other way around, because my favorite color is blue. But for some reason, the Democrats have blue and the Republicans have red. I still haven't figured that one out. So your Texas will go Democratic again, especially if this bill is passed. No doubts about it at all. And it might not take to 2025. Right now, the state of Texas, I need to back up. For decades, the state of Texas was Democrat. And I got to remind you, the Republican Party, which was the party of Lincoln, was the one that freed the slaves and passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment that protected their rights. And for many, many years, blacks in America voted Republican, were solid Republican. And it was the racists, the segregationists, with their Jim Crow laws, you know, laws for accommodations, facilities for blacks and whites, separate, equal in education. It was the Democratic Party in the South, including Texas, that really was against the blacks. Yet today, 90-95% of blacks out there are for the Democratic Party. I keep shaking my head saying, are you nuts? How's it working out in terms of getting a job under President Obama? Look at your own. The black unemployment rate is around 14%. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it's real close to that. Much higher, you know, average unemployment rate in the country today went up to 7.5%. It's either 7.5 or 7 points. I really should have that number ingrained in my head. It went up a tenth of a point. I think it went up to 7.5. But the black unemployment rate is in the teens. And if you're a teenager, it's over 20%. It's close to 25%. It's around 24%. So the economic policies of President Obama haven't worked out. And that's a separate show. I'm looking at the time. And I'm going to jump. I'm probably not going to get to this segment, but I will. Like I said, this is really going to be a two-part show, where the second part will probably cover the last segment, which is Syria. I think there are polls out already on this. The majority, overwhelming majority, of American people don't want any part of this religious civil war that's going on in Syria. Just so you understand what's going on, the regime, the Assad regime that's been in power for many, many years, brutal regime, no doubt about it. Wish they would fall. Have the backing not only of the Russians, which is important, but also of the Iranian government. Now, why? The Iranians are Islam, but they are of the Shiite sect, called whatever you want to call it. So they're Iranians, or Persians is probably a better way to describe it, and their majority religion is Shiite. Now, in terms of total Islam, roughly 11% worldwide of people that are Islamic are Shiites. The overwhelming majority are Sunnis, roughly about 89%. Now, in the Arab Middle East, the Arabian Gulf, the majority of those people, the Arabs, are Sunnis. Now, what we have in Syria, Assad, the Alawites, are Shiite, and they control the army, they control the regime, and I don't think he's going to fall, by the way. He's definitely not going to fly off to someplace else. He's not going to step down. He has big backers. He has Russia, China, and Iran. And Iran uses proxies, Hezbollah. They're also sending some of their own troops in there. But it's a combination, a religious civil war, where Sunnis are killing Shiites and Shiites are killing Sunnis. You have that dimension to it. And you also have secularists, people that believe that believe the government should not be controlled by a theocracy versus the religious. You have that divide. It is a bloody, savage, brutal war with atrocities on both sides. As far as I'm concerned, the United States should stay out of it. But we have the bigs, the big interventionist government status. And leading one of the leaders of the warmongers are the neoconservatives, led by John McCain, beating the drums. He wants the United States to get involved and support the rebels who are Sunni, but there's over 1,000 groups there in terms of the rebels. They're revolting against that want regime change. And there's Sunni Arabs. Keep that in mind. They're Sunni Arabs. They don't like Shiites. And they don't like Persians or Iranians. And they don't particularly like people that but want a secular government, like many in the army do. So you have a lot of group on group. So you have over 1,000 group, but over 1,000 individual groups. It's hard to sort them out. Supposedly the CIA is doing that. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, I've heard that before. But a large number of them are Al-Qaeda. They've rebranded themselves. And they call themselves the Victory Front. That's the American translation of that group. And I'm really jumping ahead. I'm giving you a little bit more detail than I want. But I want to really discuss that. Because I feel strongly, as do the majority of American people, we don't want no part of this war. No part of it. We shouldn't be supporting either side. If they want to kill themselves, butcher people, I don't favor that, but they're going to do it. They're doing it now, and it's only going to get worse. I don't want any American pilot, Marine, Army, infantryman, or even for that matter, CIA agent being killed or wounded. And there's several reporters that have gone to Syria that have been killed. It's a dangerous, believe me, you don't want to go to Syria. It's not... I should say this. You don't spend your vacation there. Or if you do, you might not come back. We don't have a dog in this fight. And as far as I'm concerned, the United States, unlike so-called neocons or neoconservatives are all about, is they favor the United States being policemen of the world and promoting the growth of democracy worldwide, especially in the Middle East. What has happened is, and there have been, I'll be the first one to say, there have been authoritarian dictators in the Middle East. Historically, that's what they've had. And yes, they've fallen, but it's not clear to me that who's replacing them is better, because we have the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, as well as in Syria, supporting the rebels, and they want to institute Sharia law, Islamic law, if you will, and ultimately form what's called a caliphate. That's what they're about. They would undermine our country. They want to turn the United States. I think this is a pipe dream, but one of their goals is to turn the United States into a government that would have Sharia law be the law of the land and incorporate the United States as part of the caliphate. Now, I think this is a pipe dream for the simple reason that approximately 1% of the U.S. population is Islamic, and many of those people that is their faith fled their nations because they don't want to know part of Sharia law. But President Obama and his administration have supported in Egypt, Libya, and now in Syria groups that are supported by, in some cases led, by members of the Muslim Brotherhood. In addition, we have this Nusra, and that's the Victory Front, that is really all it is Al-Qaeda rebranded. And they're vicious. They're executing people, they're beheading them, shooting them. Glenn Beck had a terrible video that they published where a guy, after he shot a Syrian soldier, cut open his chest, took out the heart, and sucked the blood from it. It's gross. I have it on this section, by the way. I debated long and hard, but those are the people that we should provide small arms and ammunition to. Like I said, the overwhelming majority of people want no part of this. Yet we have the President of the United States pushing it. And we have people in the Senate and the House pushing it, neoconservatives, that want us to intervene in Syria. We're already intervening, folks. That was part of the Benghazi scandal, was the fact that our ambassador there was arranging the shipment of arms as well as fighters to Turkey by ship and by plane to then be transferred into Syria to support the rebels. That's the scandal that they really don't want to have broadcast. The CIA was involved in this. It was a covert operation, and I believe supported by a presidential finding to do that. The problem is why Obama, in his own terms, was successful in Egypt and Libya, he's now getting pushback in Syria for the first time from the Russians, Chinese, Iranians. And the reason why I make it a segment is this has all the elements to starting a World War III. And that's why I think it's important. We're talking war and peace here. And the last thing I want to see happen is, for example, an F-16 or an F-15, whether it's NATO forces from Turkey or U.S. Air Forces or possibly even Navy fighter aircraft get involved in Syria and get shot down by Russian anti-aircraft missiles. And they've been shipped, the Russians several weeks ago, shipped them a fairly sophisticated system that could shoot down our planes. And we're probably the only ones that can defeat that, maybe with the Israelis. Now, it makes the whole situation really combustible, and there's no good options here, is that Syria has a large stockpile of chemical and biological, primarily chemical, but also biological weapons of mass destruction. They don't have nuclear. And many, they've had sarin gas, for example, for many years, but a lot of these weapons of mass destruction were shipped from Iraq when the United States, either just prior to or during, was shipped from Iraq to Syria by Hussein, when he was still in charge. So the reason why this is a concern of me, and I'm sure of the U.S. government, as well as the Israelis, I don't want weapons of mass destruction being in the hands of either Hezbollah or, for that matter, the rebels, especially if they're associated with either the Muslim Brotherhood or Al-Qaeda under a new name. You know, imagine if sarin gas were used in a major city of the United States. A tiny, 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 and I mean real small, about the size of the head of a pin, would kill you almost instantly if you came in contact of it. It's very hard to control it, but it's deadly, folks. That's why these weapons have been outlawed. But we have massive stockpiles of it. We're a superpower. We have nuclear weapons. We also have biological and chemical weapons. But my fear is that this stockpile, at least up to now, has been tightly controlled by the regime in Syria. If Assad's back was to the wall, I firmly believe he would give those weapons to Hezbollah, the Iranians, the Shiites that are his allies, and let it loose. Now, the Obama administration is claiming that, in a limited extent, has already been done. I don't know who to believe, because until you have people physically in the area that supposedly sarin gas has been used, and you gotta do that. Right now, all we have is a lot of hearsay evidence. We have a special UN investigative team went in and couldn't document the fact that the regime had used it. If anything, they documented that it was probably the rebels that used it. And the reason why this is dangerous, once these weapons are go from a tightly controlled situation to where terrorist groups, as we would, from our point of view, consider them, have these weapons. God forbid if it gets into the United States, or Europe for that matter, or any other country. You know, those weapons really need to be taken out. Now, I'm sure if what I'm scenario that I'm describing should happen, the Israelis will take them out. Because, believe me, they know that if Hezbollah gets a hold of those weapons, it's only a matter of time before they're deployed or used on Israelis in Israel. They're not going to let that happen, and they have the intelligence and the military capability to stop it. But if we get into a situation where that could quickly develop into a world war where Russia is confronting the United States, it could escalate. It could escalate. And the last thing I want is a nuclear war by getting involved in Syria. The American people really have no stomach today for another intervention. The American people want the troops home from Afghanistan and Iraq. No more war. They're sick of war. And the people that were supposedly benefiting, and the reason why I'm against intervention, perceive us, unfortunately, I think rightly, as occupiers. While we might have liberated their country from either the Taliban in Afghanistan or Saddam Hussein in Iraq, after 6 months to a year, we get to be the United States military forces slowly but surely become perceived as military occupiers. And what happens is, first they resent you, and eventually they start shooting and killing you. And as far as that's what happens when you become policemen of the world and start intervening, American soldiers get killed, which has happened. I was really on the fence about the war in Iraq. Not so much Afghanistan, because I think we should have done what we did, but unfortunately we lost focus because these neocon warmongers got us involved in Iraq. We should have finished the job, killed bin Laden in Afghanistan, and gotten out. In other words, kill the people that were responsible for the attack on 9/11 and other terrorist attacks. Wipe them out. Focus our energy, and we still haven't done it. Just the opposite. Al-Qaeda's expanding again, as is the Taliban, the very people we were trying to defeat. See that, you know, the party line of the Democratic Party last election, well, we killed bin Laden, we've killed his lieutenants, they're on the run. Yeah, they were on the run attacking our diplomatic facility in Libya in Benghazi. And they're on the run in Syria, killing Syrian Shiites. It's a combination of religious war, secular war. Stay out of it. It's none of our business. It's very simple. Follow the advice of George Washington. Stay out of these foreign escapades, however you want to call it, or what John Adams said, don't go searching for monsters. There are monsters all over the world, folks. And we cannot be policemen of the world. We don't have the resources. The United States is broke. Our gross deficit will exceed $17 trillion by the end of September. That's more than all the goods and services produced in the United States this year for the first time ever. And we have unfunded liabilities and that's just the tip of the iceberg because we have unfunded liabilities for Social Security and Medicare that you get range of estimates from 60 trillion to 120 trillion plus. And the reason why there's such a wide range is whether how you figure what the unfunded liability of Obamacare is when it's coming in. Now, I'm somewhat digressing, which I don't want to do. The reason I brought that up, we can't afford more wars. What ends empires, all empires, is war, because it's expensive to engage in war. We found that out. You would hope that we would learn from past experience. Unfortunately, we have a ruling elite, the bigs, the big interventionist government status, that support wars. Why? Because guess what? Wars are profitable. Wars are big business. Wars allow the expansion of government. That's why wars are very popular with the interventionist, big government interventionist, starting with Wilson in World War I. So that's why I made the third segment, the situation in Syria. Now I want to jump back, and like I said, this is a two-part show. I probably will give the second part Thursday rather than Friday, because Friday the studio will be shut down, so I can't give it the normal time. So we'll continue this show Thursday afternoon, hopefully from 2 to 4, maybe 3 to 5. I'm not sure what the schedule is, because I know I'm not going to be able to cover in depth all three segments. And I'm looking at the clock. I'll be lucky to just, I label my segments, I count from 0, 0, 1, 2. I have a total of three segments. I'm going to really use the last roughly 30 minutes of the show, more like 40 minutes of the show, to go over segment one. And that's, I'm trying to make the connection in segment one between the NSA. You know, I'm looking at the title of my segment, and I made a mistake in the title. It should be the National Security Agency rather than the National Security Council. I'm going to correct that right now before I forget. That was a big mistake on my part. Maybe it's a mistake on my part to correct it right now. If you've been listening to the news, you've heard about a gentleman that worked as a consultant at the NSA, the National Security Agency, Edward Snowden. He didn't work there very long as a consultant, you know, several months, but he fled to Hong Kong and then released stories both to the Washington Post and to the Guardian in the United Kingdom. And to summarize what he said, and I like the phrase, there's a roughly a 12 to 13 minute video of his statement, and he's being interviewed by Glenn Greenwald, who was the reporter. He's a reporter for the Guardian. So that's the gentleman actually interviewing him. But towards the very, very end of the interview, and I'm pointing this out, what the National Security Agency has done is provide the political leadership of this country with the capability of turning the United States into a turnkey tyranny. Turnkey tyranny. Now, why does he say that? And I should kind of point out, I was very interested in how the bigs, the big interventionist government status, were reacting to this, both Democrats and Republicans. They quickly labeled him a traitor. He should be tried as a traitor to the country for disclosing what he did. Now, I need to remind those senators and congressmen and women that you swear an oath or affirm an oath to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. And in the Constitution of the United States, there are the first 10 amendments are called the Bill of Rights. And the Fourth Amendment protects individuals and their families from unreasonable searches. And to the extent that your house, your papers are searched, whoever does that needs a warrant, a specific warrant to do that. We're protected under the Fourth Amendment from unreasonable searches and seizures of property. Now, I need to emphasize that, because the reason why I'm outraged is what the NSA has done has really, there's no easy way to say that, the leadership of the NSA, including the president, there's a chain of command here. There are a lot of people involved, have not lived up to their oath of office. Because what they've done is invaded the privacy of the American people, just like the British did in our Revolutionary War. The reason why we have a Fourth Amendment, well, let me back up. The Constitution of the United States almost did not get passed. We almost didn't have a United States Constitution. Why? We did not have the Bill of Rights. And the states, even though there were Bill of Rights in the state constitutions, the states demanded that if you want the states to pass or approve of this United States Constitution, you're going to need to add a Bill of Rights. And 10 amendments were added, included the fourth. And the reason why we have the Fourth Amendment is during the American Revolution, British troops, without a warrant, would go into people's houses and search them, search their papers, their belongings. They were looking primarily for firearms that the revolutionaries had. That was the primary focus, but they were looking for anything that could incriminate and identify you as a rebel. And justice was rather swift there. They wanted to know whether or not you were in rebellion against the United, well, at that time, the King of England, George. So our founding fathers, at the insistence of the states, added a Bill of Rights, including a right of free press, right to bear and hold arms. You know, the first, second, fourth, tenth, they're all important. But what the NSA has done has invaded your privacy and my privacy, as far as I'm concerned, without a specific warrant. Now, how have they done that? And this is where slowly but surely the American people are going to be tremendously outraged when they fully understand the scope of what the NSA has done. And I think at the orders of the President of the United States, need to add that, both under President Bush and President Obama, for the going on 10 years. Now, it initially did not have not all of this information was collected. Gradually, it really took off in 2007, but it started much earlier. It started in 2002, around 2003, it really started to take off, and it just got worse and worse, at least from my perspective. What the NSA has been doing is recording, collecting all your telephone conversations. I'll repeat that. They've been recording all your telephone conversations, collecting all your emails, all your photographs, all your videos, all your podcasts, a massive collection of information, and storing it in databases, in data centers across the United States. This has been going on approximately 10 years, and is becoming more and more comprehensive. There's that comprehensive word again. Now, if you're technically, let's say, computer literate, savvy, you know this capability exists, and you might have suspected it was going on, but what Edward Snowden confirmed, it is going on. That's the news here. And really, the only people that were aware of that, in terms of our representatives, are people that are on the Senate and House Intelligence Committees. Most of our congressmen and representatives were not. I just got a indication that I'm going to have to wrap it up fairly soon, so I'm just getting warmed up. I consider part one as kind of the overview, and in part two I'll really get into the details. I won't do an overview. I'll publish this show and the next show, make people aware of that, so that you really need to listen to the show 113 and 114. Okay, getting back to where we were. So the NSA has been accumulating all this information in data centers. All your telephone conversations, all your emails, all your records, records of financial transactions, credit card transactions. Anything that's gone over either telephone lines or over fiber optic internet has been captured. and stored in databases, more than one, of every American citizen, as well as foreigners here. Now, let me point out, the job of the NSA, the National Security Agency, is to not to spy on the American people, period, full stop. It is not to spy on the American people. Now, I fully support the NSA's primary mission to spy on other governments, because guess what? Other governments are spying on us. In other words, to gather intelligence to protect the United States from foreign invasion, from terrorist attack. That's their mission, and that was their mission. Initially, it was primarily to intercept communications, whether by phone, satellite, you name it. But it was always outward-looking, namely directed at the enemies of the United States, whether they be countries or people in those countries. I have no problem with their primary mission, and I need to make that very, very clear. What I strenuously object to is their invasion, wholesale invasion of the privacy of the American people that is protected directly by the Fourth Amendment of this Constitution. So you need to wake up to that fact. Now, I know some of you will say, well, you know, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm an open book. You know, I don't commit any crimes. I'm a, like I said, a law-abiding citizen. I don't really care if they have all that information. You better wake up, folks. If that is your position, and there are a lot of people, it's very tempting to say that. Very tempting. But once that database is in existence, that can be used, and I think is being used today, to develop a file or a dossier about you. Because it's no use collecting all this information if you can't access it. And to access it, you got to set up databases where you have a unique identifiers for people, such as your telephone number, such as your email address, such as your Texas license number, such as account numbers that you have with various businesses that you do business with, such as your address. You develop a database to take the information that you've collected and organize it so you can use it. Now, I have no problem of the NSA doing that with aliens or foreigners that are in the United States illegally. I think that is totally legitimate. And I believe they're doing it. They're doing it. But you should be incensed, because what happens? There are two words that I need to point out because I'm running short of time. But I urge you, there's one video that you really should, actually there are two in this section. But there was a whistleblower, not this Edward Snowden, this is someone much earlier and much higher, that was a 32-year veteran of the NSA. He worked for him for 32 years. He was the head technologist there. He knows of what he speaks. He resigned because he saw what the NSA was doing and knew it was against the Constitution of the United States. His name is Bill Binney, B-I-N-N-E-Y, and there's a video, He Told You So, Bill Binney Talks NSA Leaks. That should be required viewing. There's actually two videos. I have a long list of them, a lot of information here. And again, to access this, go to the companion blog for this radio show, prongpops.wordpress.com. That's prong, P-R-O-N-K, pops, P-O-P-S.wordpress.com. That's how you get to it. Now, for every segment, I provide all my listeners what I like to tell my listeners, do your own homework, come to your own conclusions. You might disagree with what I've just said, but a lot of the information that I've given you in preparing this program, I give you videos, I give you charts, I give you graphics, I give you photographs, I give you newspaper articles to read. Now, I know you don't all have the time, but it's there for so you can be informed by yourself. And what I'm urging you to do, I have many, many videos. I think you should go through all of them. I know, being realistic, you don't have the time. But definitely, definitely listen to what Bill Binney is saying. The other video related on the population part, and it's towards the top, and it's, I think, the very, very, very first, immigration by the numbers off the charts. I'm trying to relate the NSA story to the population and the illegal immigration problem. They really are connected. Because as far as I'm concerned, it is only the United States government that truly can come up with a fairly accurate estimate of how many illegal aliens are here. Now, the NSA has access to these spy, we have satellites stationed, a number of them, that sweep over countries, including the United States, that provide us with very valuable intelligence, many of them classified. And they've been doing this for over 60 years, initially with aircraft, now satellites. We still do it with aircraft, but as well as satellites and drones, provide you very, but not only photographic intelligence, but also video intelligence. The NSA is probably a key agency that could tell you a fairly precise estimate of how many illegal aliens are actually in the United States. They know. They should know. They've collected all this information. They have satellite images of it. Many of them, literally every day, people are crossing primarily the Mexican border. They also have information on people entering the United States legally on a visa, then overstaying it. What I'm leading up to, the NSA has the information as to how many fairly precisely illegal aliens are in the United States, and that number, and it's not just me saying it, it's over 40 million. That's the number that they really don't want you to focus in on. That's the number the senators are dodging. It's not 11 million, folks. It's not 11 million. That's a bogus number. You should be thinking of somewhere between 30 to 50 million and maybe higher. And the one organization in the news that probably could come up with a very precise estimate, as well as tell you over time how that number has grown. They've been doing it for collecting this information for 10 years, is the NSA. Because I think it's legitimate for the NSA to spy on illegal aliens in the United States. Why? Because many of them, not all of them, but a small minority of them are foreign agents, are terrorists that mean to do us harm. So I have no problem with the NSA spying on illegal aliens in the United States. And they have that capability. You better believe they have that capability. That's the only way, really, that they claim that they've saved the United States or prevented 55 or more terrorist attacks. Now, I'm not going to debate that figure. But to do that, they have to be monitoring, that's a nice way of saying, wiretapping, recording, the telephone conversations of illegal aliens. And it's not just, most of the people that I run into that are law-abiding, I'm not saying they're terrorists, I'm not saying they're agents at all. Most of them are just here for a job that are hardworking. Now, it's a job that Americans have in the past and today still perform. It's a job that Americans, citizens, should have, not illegal aliens. Not when we have 25 million Americans looking for permanent full-time jobs today. But getting back to my point, the NSA has collected all this information, and you have to have access. You got to do data mining. So first you collect the information. All that is and Binney gets into it, and he's well aware of the capabilities and how to do it, is they've collected, you have fiber optic lines, and all you do is split them. where the where one branch goes to wherever it was intended to go, and the other branch ultimately goes into an NSA data center. And they basically have all the information, all your phone calls, all your emails, all your blog posts, all your tweets, they have. Now, it doesn't do them any good to collect this information unless they can access it. And they got to come up with the unique identifiers to do that. And that's what they're doing. And I have about 3 minutes, so I need to wrap this. I'm just getting started on this first segment. The key is, the reason why this is a turnkey to tyranny is why right now they're focused on preventing terrorism as well as enemies or spies that in the United States. This can be used to target anyone. And we've already seen it with the IRS targeting Tea Party groups, pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-Constitution, people advocating fiscal responsibility. We've seen the IRS target those groups. This same database can be used to target American citizens that have various views, that you could get on a targeting list, enemies of the state. It can be turned into a police state. We have the beginnings of a secret security surveillance state, and this gives them the technological ability to do that. You know, for example, in September of last year, we had the CIA director Petraeus, General Petraeus, suddenly retire. I fully suspect that this database was used to get the dirt, his emails, to use as leverage or blackmail them, so that if General Petraeus did not support President Obama's story on Benghazi, he was asked to resign and told if he didn't resign that his affair would be made public. Well, he made it public by resigning. That's the danger of this database. It can be used to target your political enemies for whatever reason. So, yes, I'm fully aware that the overwhelming majority of Americans are law-abiding, and the powers, the ruling elite, could care less about them. There's a lot of information. They can store it. Most of my information is public. Yes, I have a few private matters that I use the internet, for example, paying bills that I don't want disclosed, and that's everybody. I'm a very much public person. There's a lot of useless information that there, and this is expensive to store, by the way. You need big facilities, they need air conditioning, you need hardware, you need water. This costs billions of dollars to do. It's a very inefficient way to do it. Even though it's expensive, the real danger is this enables anyone to circumvent the Constitution. This database should never have come into being. Never. To target all the American people, they're supposed to be targeting foreigners, enemies of the United States, that want to do us harm, not targeting the American people, the overwhelming majority of which are law-abiding. We have estimated about 316 million Americans. I would say over 300 million are law-abiding. Now, what you need to keep in mind, at least 40 million of that 300 million are illegal aliens. So right around 260 million Americans, native-born, are here legally, are law-abiding. We are talking at most, a million people that potentially could be a target, either criminals or terrorists or enemy agents. That's the problem. This is a shotgun approach that violates your privacy and can be used to target you in the future. It's to keep you in line and can be used to keep you in line. You could be targeted in the future, and this could be used as leverage, which is a nice word to say blackmail. If you don't shut up, we're going to disclose that you're drunk, or we're going to disclose that you have a drug problem, or we're going to disclose that you're having an affair. That's how this can be used by a police state and has been used in the past. And that's what we have the U.S. government under two presidents through the National Security Agency has done. That is the danger of this. And I've heard very, very few people draw these conclusions. Instead, they go after Edward Snowden that broke the law, but he at least lived up to his oath of office. I can't say that for the President of the United States, and I cannot say that for the head of the National Security Agency. So I'll end part one of our show now. This Thursday, I'll continue right here where I left off, and we'll hopefully cover all three segments. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening. I hope it's been both informative and a little bit entertaining. Stay tuned for the show Thursday from 2 to 4, where I will continue this segment as well as finish the illegal immigration, the comprehensive immigration bill, as well as what's happening in Syria. Thank you, and now back to the music.